The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we are continuing our series this month of Beholding Jesus. If you were not here on December 1st when Renee Calva preached, I encourage you to listen to that message. I do not say that because she's my daughter. I say that because it was an awesome, very, very good message on this whole subject of beholding Jesus. I can promise you it will challenge you. And it was just very, very good. We want to continue on that theme. Matthew Berry last week, really, whether intentional or not, I suspect when you preach on the birth of Jesus, it's easy. How many of you know it's easier to behold a baby than it is an adult? If you don't believe it, just watch when a new baby comes into the church for the first time or whatever. But we have to behold the fullness of Jesus. Matthew Berry did an excellent job last week as well. And you can listen to both those messages online, livingwatersmn.org. And they will bless you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Part of Renee's encouragement to us was that we would read the Word of God with the intent of beholding Jesus. I was discussing it over the phone with Colleen. We had both listened to the message because I wasn't here and she wasn't here. And I liked the way she said it. She said, you read the Word of God so often to look at how you should be behaving instead of how you are beholding. And we want to, even this morning, I want to read Scripture, and I want us to see and behold Jesus in it. Even the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the readers of his day, always, if you read his letters, you will see that he challenged them with who they were and who Jesus was before he ever told them how they ought to behave. And Renee said it very well, that worship will flow out of our beholding Jesus. I would say that our behaving will flow out of our beholding Jesus. Our conduct and the ability to be the men and women of God that he has called us to be will come to us very easily when we understand who he is and we understand who we are. And then it is not a matter of pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but it is a matter of accessing the reality of who he is in our lives. And then the fruit is really the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, that flows out of our lives. There is a place where we can get into Scripture, and if we're not beholding the author, we can become very legalistic and very judgmental. In fact, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, and in them hope you'll find life, but you would not come to me. And the truth is, the Word of God should always introduce us to the author. And it is in a revelation of the author that the Word of God opens up to us in a whole new way. I want to read to you this morning out of the Gospel of John in verse 1. Very familiar verses, and because they're familiar, I am going to read it in the New King James Version, but then I am going to read it in the Message, just to jar us out of our familiarity with what is going to be said next. And of course, this is speaking of Jesus. Father, help. Lord, we ask you for a grace to properly represent your heart here this morning. Father, I ask you that as we purpose to do our very best to carry water, that you will turn it to wine. I thank you for this congregation of people, all who are unique and different and in different stations of their life. Lord, I ask you to make it wine. I ask you to make it sustenance. I ask you to make it bread of heaven. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to just let the Word of God minister to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." I want to read that same portion to you in the Message. And again, I encourage you, the Message translation, and I encourage you to let it minister to you. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of darkness, and darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. They are God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word." We all live off this generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving. This endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, has made him plain as day. That is Jesus. In his message last week, Matthew Berry did a very good job of helping us to see that the birth of Jesus took place in the most obscure way, in the most hidden way, and it is like God to be like that. Paul put it this way. He said that God takes the foolish things to confound the wise, and he takes the weak things to confound the mighty, and he takes the base things and the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. And we shouldn't be surprised that God would cause his son, by the way, the fulfillment of the birth of Christ was fulfillment of prophecy. It was already declared and set in motion by the Father. Don't feel sorry for Mary, and don't feel sorry for Joseph. And don't feel sorry for the baby Jesus. God had everything under control, even as we heard prophetically. He's sovereign and he set things in motion. He announced it to the most common of people when Jesus was born, shepherds. They were the least likely to be believed, probably, when they went and told their story. And yet that is the way of God. Of all the verses that we just read, probably the most tragic is verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Message translation says he moved into the neighborhood, and they wanted to kick him out. That's our Jesus. I want to encourage us this morning to be careful lest we don't see him. And lest we don't recognize him. I like what Heather said. He was here when we got here this morning. Worship doesn't usher in his presence, and I suppose it'd be theologically safe to say that it causes him to move so that we know he's here. But the truth is, worship brings us into an awareness of his presence. He said, if two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. He's already here. And there is a danger that you and I could miss him, and that he could come unto us and we would miss it. Renee did an excellent job of giving us a definition of behold, and it was quite broad. But the piece that I really spoke to me was, it's kind of like seeing something for the first time. I would suggest that every time we have an encounter with Jesus, we're seeing him for the first time. Because it's the one who sits on the throne and says, behold, I make all things new. encounters that we've had with him in the past do us very little good in the present. We need fresh manna every day, fresh bread every day, freshness of his presence every day. But we must not miss his presence. We must not miss the fact that he's here. We must understand that he is already here. I have a habit of doing something here every Sunday morning that I'm here. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask you to stand. And here's what I do, and then you can do what I do. And it doesn't matter where you're sitting in the room. But every now and then, I just take a 360-degree look around the room. And I'm not looking at the paintings on the wall. Do that. Just take a look at the people around you. Smile, if you like. I try not to lock eyes with anyone when I do that because I've noticed some people get really uncomfortable, especially during worship. You may be seated. Now I have a question for you. Did you behold him?
Yes.
Did you see him? Did you see him? Did you see the body of Christ? Don't dismiss the people of God around you. Don't dismiss people. Matthew Berry, in his message last week, said something I've said for years, but I don't say it very often because it makes people uncomfortable. And I was so glad to hear someone else with the guts to say it. He said this, talking of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and his humanity, one third of the Godhead is human. That causes our mind to tilt a little bit. But see, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, listen, Nick. You must be born again to see the kingdom. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You and I were born of water and then had to be born of the Spirit. But Jesus was born of the Spirit, but had to be born of water. That human birth. And we don't understand how all that took place, and it's really silly to even try how, the biology of all that. To me, it doesn't matter. That's not a problem for God. But we do need to know that in order for the king to be the king of the kingdom of which we were subjects and to rule on this planet of which we were given authority, he had to be a man. In order to gain back what was lost by Adam and Eve, it could only be regained by a man, because God had given man authority on the earth. The heavens are your throne, O God, and the earth is your footstool. But the earth you have given unto the children of men. Make no mistake about it. You and I have way more dominion than we realize we do. And we had it restored to us by Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews said it this way, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and for me. But make no mistake about it, he is a man. Resurrected from the dead, yes. Crowned with glory and honor, yes. For that very reason, I'll say to you what I heard driving to church this morning. Do not neglect to see God in the humanity around you. You want to behold Jesus? Look at the people around you. Be aware of your family, of your kids, of your grandkids, of whatever stage of life you're in, your mom and your dad. You kids are challenged. I don't mean to pick on you, but that's what you get for having a family who sits in a front row. Could have been born to anybody else in the room. You're born to this family. Thank God. And then you're here by cousinhood. Jeez. But God's word to you is don't neglect the authority that your mom and dad have in your life.
Amen. Say it again, brother.
So that things might go well with you. We need to be aware of the importance of the humanity around us because God is. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about his second coming. And he's talking about separating nations. There's goat nations and there's sheep nations. And we need to understand that. I know some of us look at poverty in some nations and horrific suffering. And we need to understand, you only need to look at the history of the leadership of those nations. And you will find somewhere along the line, a human gave voice to a rebellion against God.
That's right.
I guarantee it. And separation from God. And they become, in a sense, a goat nation. Even before the day of judgment. And you can say, well, that's not fair. It may or may not be. But God does not take back the dominion he gave to men. Mankind. Women. But in that portion of Scripture, and I'm not going to go to it because it's lengthy and you know it quite well, what brings the separation between the goats and the sheep is how the hungry were treated, how the thirsty were treated, how the naked were treated, how the sick were treated, how the stranger was treated, how the imprisoned was treated. Jesus said, if you did it onto any of these, you did it onto me. If you didn't do it onto any of these, you did that onto me too. See, you cannot separate in the process of beholding Jesus. You cannot separate his connection with people, no matter who they are. In fact, he's more likely to be connected with the downcast than he is the high and mighty. So we can behold him when we serve the hungry. I drove into the parking lot this morning and I beheld Jesus. I saw the close family bringing in bread. By the way, there's bread in the bread room today. I'm supposed to announce that. There's your announcement, Kathy. What? Oh, fellowship hall this morning because of prophetic prayer, I bet. bread in both rooms, just slightly different. Yeah. Just saying. But you see Jesus in that. The simplicity of serving food. The thirsty. The naked. How many are here that were involved in the distribution of winter clothes and stuff? I think that was this weekend, wasn't it? Oh, when is it?
Next Friday.
I'll tell you what, Jim, look for Jesus. He's going to be there. Roy, you going? Thought you would. Look for Jesus. He's going to be there. And if we don't understand, see, we tend to want fireworks. That's what they wanted when he was born. And there are times when there's fireworks, but more often than not, see him in the simplicity of life, in everyday life. The sick, Henry and Les. How many are in this room that are involved ambassadors for him? Would you please stand? Thank you. And I know, yeah, amen. And I know there's more. But when you go, expect to see Jesus. You'll see him in humanity. You'll see him in frailty. You'll see him in gentleness and tenderness and brokenness. But you'll see him. Don't miss him. He came unto his own, and his own didn't even recognize him. The stranger, I was a stranger and you took me in. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have taken in someone over the years? Had them come and live with you? Short term, long term, doesn't matter. As many of you know, I'm getting married soon. And I have an excitement in my spirit because I get to connect with a whole bunch of strangers. By that I mean they're not strangers anymore, but I get to bring the kingdom into a whole other family. Two daughters and five grandkids, and I can't wait to get into it. Why? Because it's Jesus. That's what he would do. That's what he told me to do. But he doesn't tell us to do something without giving us the heart for it and the desire for it and the, yeah, let's do this. Going to be messy? Sure. Coat distribution, clothing distribution is messy. Bread ministry gets messy. Praying for the sick gets messy. Doesn't matter what we give ourselves to. Yeah, it can get messy. So what? Where the stall is empty, there's no mess. But it's from the strength of the ox that comes the harvest. I love mess when I know it's kingdom, when I know God's up to something. I was in prison and you visited me. I would like all of those of you who are involved in the card writing to prisoners to stand, affirming you. And I know there's a lot more than what are here. Thank you. Amen. Make sure you understand you're writing to Jesus. He's in the midst of it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I'm there in the midst. I am ending this year the same way I started it, with basically the same message. My message to you at the end of 2018 and all of 2019, and particularly the early months, was about intimacy with the bridegroom. And that is what we're talking about here again today. It's about recognizing that our closeness to Jesus and beholding Jesus isn't just about what takes place in the spiritual bedroom of our lives. It takes place in every room of the house where serving is going on and loving people is going on. And we need to come to an awareness that we come into an intimacy with God when we go about our Father's business in our everyday life. We have got to understand that we can see Jesus in the ordinary day tasks. We must see him there, or we'll so miss him. He came onto his own, and his own did not know him. Be aware of the people who God brings into your life and across your path, to both make a deposit of Jesus into you, and for you to make a deposit of Jesus into them. But understand this, he's there in the midst of it. My challenge to you was to make sure that you cultivated with the bridegroom an emotional intimacy. Make sure you tell him how you feel. My encouragement was to be very intentional about an intellectual intimacy with your bridegroom. In everyday life, not in little, we tend to see our relationship with God as these highs of, Now I'll go about my daily life and I'll search for somewhere I've got, there it is again. No. It was all along. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's merry way. And the voice I hear falling on my ear is none other than his own. Don't miss him in the simplest of things. Don't miss. You know why I just love teaching Sunday school? Because Jesus is all over kids. It's true. That's why Sunday school programs are so awesome. It's Jesus. He's way more than baby in the manger at a Christmas program. He's the sheep falling in line. He's the wise man with the tilted hat. He's the little girl singing up, raising her dress. Yep, there's Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all family. It's all church. It's all kingdom. It's all him. It's all humanity in all its beauty and all its chaos and all its silliness. Jesus. We get way too religious about him. The most non-religious person that walked the earth, and we get so religious about him and so pious and I'm not going to smile. Don't smile. You probably got nothing to smile about because you don't know Jesus yet. You just think you know him. See him in the simplest of daily things. Have an emotional intimacy with him where you tell him how you feel. And you feel what he feels. Have an intellectual intimacy with him where you tell him what you think. David was called a man after God's own heart for that very reason. He got emotional with God. He told him what he felt. He told him what he was thinking. He told him when he thought he was wrong. But he always ended up saying, oh, maybe you're right. But he processed it with his God and Savior. He knows our thoughts afar off. Yes, he does, but do you? When's the last time you took stock in what you think? By that I mean, when's the last time you meditated on what you're thinking on and gazing at and looking at? Just thought I'd ask. And once you've done that, have you articulated it to the bridegroom, the lover of your soul? Just thought I'd ask. He doesn't just want intellectual or emotional intimacy with us. He wants spiritual intimacy with us. That comes easiest for us, but sometimes our spiritual intimacy is so religious, he doesn't recognize it. Not only does he want spiritual intimacy with us, but he wants social intimacy with us. I don't know if you heard. There's a Christmas dinner tonight. Guess who's going to be there? Jesus is going to be there. Any of you guys going? Any of these guys going? Yeah. Why are we whispering? I don't either. Oh, it's a secret. Jesus is going to be there. You going?
I work.
You work.
I'm going to go see Jesus.
Okay. Good answer. This girl's listening. She's not going to be at the dinner because she has to work, but she'll see Jesus at work. There it is, right there. Thank you. You just preached it for me. Good job. Good job. That's what I've been saying. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We need to understand that when we talked, whenever, a couple months ago about worship, we need to understand our work is worship. And for the first, I don't know, 1,000 years, that's all worship was to God, was work. But our work is worship unto him. Many of you know, for the last 8 years, I have been a part-time maintenance manager, which is just a nice word for maintenance man, which is just a white word for nice word for janitor. Well, no, I'm not janitor because I don't do much cleaning, but I just unplug toilets and stuff. I'm done. I'm done now, as of last week. But there are times when I'd be shoveling a sidewalk and I really didn't feel like it, so I would just sing a song. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up this snow? It works. To be honest, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot now. There's times, even though I know I just said, but I'm learning this right with you, even though I know I just said, see Jesus in all humanity, there's times when I do stuff that I would not do for humanity, but I will do it for Jesus. And in those times, he says, you did it unto them, you've done it unto me. You can laugh. Go ahead. You identify with that. Aren't people... Let's talk about this. I got a kindred spirit here. Let's talk. Aren't people weird? Have you noticed? Don't people drive you crazy? Oh, really? Oh, you lie. What's going on? We're just having fun, and we're recognizing that basically all people are the same. And there are times when the humanity around us drives us crazy. And that's when more than ever you can look for Jesus. And you can discover who he is. That's when we began to draw from something deeper than ourselves. That's when we love with a love that isn't ours, it's his. That's when we are kind with a kindness that is not ours but his, and a gentleness that is not ours but his, and a peace that is not ours but his, and a joy that is not ours and his. It's then that we realize, oh my gosh, I am putting on display the fruit of the Spirit with a capital S. And it's coming through me. A cracked pot. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory and the excellent might be of God and not of man. And yet all the humanity all around us. As you go through Christmas this year and into the next year, cultivate intimacy with the everyday God that's walking with you. Look for him in the most unexpected places. Learn to see him. Learn to hear his voice in the quiet and in the roar. Learn to sense his presence whether you're tingling or not. I realize that there's probably people in this room who have never tingled. I said tingled, not tinkled. Stop it. I'm preaching. I realize, and I am serious about this, so I wish you were. I realize it's been one of the things that has broken my heart over the years. That's probably pretty dramatic. But it is one thing I've been aware of as a minister over the years, is I have come to understand that there are people who have never been able, for whatever reason, to experience the presence of God in such a way that you tingle or you feel the softness, or you weep, or you laugh, and there's a way in which that breaks my heart. But there's a way in which I want to say to you, if that's you this morning, so what? It doesn't change who he is. One of the things that he's teaching me is to see him in the most ordinary of days. Somebody said that the problem with daily life is it's so daily. But can we see our Jesus in daily life? Can we see him in our work? Can we see him in every aspect? Can we see him in the mess and in the joys? Can we see him throughout our day, beholding this Jesus who promised to never leave us nor forsake us? He's always with us. He wants to have recreational intimacy with us. There's stuff that we enjoy to do as a hobby. And I have found over the years, some people feel so guilty. Did you just see Jesus? Hi, how you doing? Good. You going to color? Awesome.
What? Put this piece of paper.
Well, how about if I take it? Did you color it?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. So what are we going to do now? Where are we going? See, the question is, do we see Jesus in that? And I'm serious. I am dead serious. Do you see Jesus in... Ugh, yeah. I love it. That's right there. That right there. That's why I will continue to teach Sunday school till I go to the grave. Did you see the life? Did you see the innocence? Did you see the simplicity? Did you see the... In front of a whole group of people, just dare some of you to do that. Just walk up and... So uninhibited. Thank you, Lord, for that little lesson. But some people feel guilty for the recreations that they enjoy. It's like even husbands and wives feel guilty if they do whatever, take time away. Oh, stop it! Just take Jesus with you. He is, yes, but acknowledge that he's there and invite him into it. See him in the most ordinary ways. Because he's there. If you seek to only behold Jesus in those times and in those places where there's only, where there's fireworks and there's thrills and there's chills and you tingle, you miss it. Just reminded me why I had this up here. We talked about seeing Jesus in the prisoner that is served. Brian sent me this. 42 gifts were Brian Calva, my son-in-law, connected with Angel Tree. 42 gifts were successfully delivered to 6 different cities in 3 parts of the state over the course of the last 72 hours. Mission accomplished. Special thanks to Tim Winberg, Joe and Charity, Delwo, Olivia, and Morgan. Lots of happy kids were served. Jesus. Jesus just walked in the room. Oh, here comes Jesus. Would you like a mic?
Yeah. We've been talking in our small group about how we impact our culture. And it just came to me this, see if you can witness to this. How if we can't get past how people act or why they do things, or the judgment, you know, that comes with, why are they like that? If we can't get past that, now you could say, how can we ever see Jesus? Or how can we ever introduce them to him?
Yeah.
And I've been around some people that are kind of religious, and they like to say, oh, they're doing that, and this is happening, and it's all stuff that, sure, it might be off pace, but how will we ever see Jesus in them, or perhaps introduce them to him, if we can't get past that?
Good word. Go ahead.
Okay, so when you said the phrase about look at people and see Jesus, I got a picture of some people in my life that don't know Jesus, mm-hmm. and don't really act that wonderful sometimes. And Jesus said, when you look at them, see me behind them. I'm pursuing them. So if you have people in your life that it's hard to get past this that's in front, Jesus is behind them.
Yeah.
Because he always is pursuing them. So
good. Yeah. Good. Amen. So, if he's behind him and you're in front of him, they're surrounded.
That is good.
Just saying. We should never be shocked that sinners act like sinners. The question is, how are we going to act? We're called to love and to honor and to serve. Well, we are too. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. We thank you and we ask you for a grace to be able to see Jesus in the most unusual places and the most daily and ordinary ways. Lord, we ask you whether it brings a thrill and a chill or a tingle to us or not. May we voice and communicate to you how we're feeling, what we're thinking, what's going on in our spiritual lives. May we invite you into our recreational activity. May we invite you into our social activities. May we invite you into every aspect of our lives so that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we do it as unto you. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask you to, even in this month of beholding you, we ask you for a dispensation of grace to hear your voice and to see you and to sense you in new and fresh ways. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.